Now, back in 2012, Congress ordered defense agencies and contractors to get a handle on counterfeit or non-conforming electronic parts. Now, the Federal Acquisition Regulation Council has taken a liberal reading of the law. We're beginning to see the scope of the reporting that's going to be required. How do a 500,000 new reports per year grab you? For some insight in this week's Legal Loop, we turn to procurement attorney Joe Petrillo. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Emily.
So what is the Federal Acquisition Regulation Council doing in their interpretation of this law?
Well, the law required mandated improved reporting of non-conforming electronic parts by DoD contractors covered by the cost accounting standards. Generally, only the larger contractors are going to be covered by the cost accounting standards. The FAR Council decided this was such a good idea, they were going to expand it in three ways. One, it's going to apply to all items of supply, not just electronic items. Secondly, it's going to cover all agencies, not just DOD. And thirdly, it's going to cover all contractors, not simply those covered by the cost accounting standards. So the number of items and the number of contractors covered by this is enormously expanded. The rule is going to be implemented. This is a proposed rule now. It's going to be implemented in new contract clause. And the contract clause has two parts, reporting and scanning. And both those parts, I think, are going to be significant for contractors.
It sounds like they're putting a landmine into almost every contract the government would let.
Well, I think this is going to have enormous consequences throughout industry. The reporting is probably the less burdensome in a lot of ways, oddly enough. The reporting is going to have to be for both counterfeit and suspected counterfeit parts, and they've defined those terms the same way that DOD does in their proposed regulations on counterfeit electronic parts. And then parts with a critical or major non-conformance, right? So these are parts that might be perfectly valid, you know, fine parts, but they've got a problem with them. And a major non-conformance is defined as one that's likely to result in failure or simply to materially reduce the usability of the item for its intended purpose. A critical non-conformance is even worse, but if something's got a critical nonconformance, it's by definition got a major nonconformance as well. So that's really the operative part of the regulation. So people are going to have to report parts that are counterfeit, that they suspect are counterfeit, or simply are likely to fail and impair the performance of the end item.
And this applies to contractors whether they're selling trash cans or pencils or iPhones.
It's everything. It includes commercial as well as non-commercial items. It includes absolutely every item of supply. And the clause, not only does it apply to the prime contractor, the prime contractor has to flow it down to subcontractors at any tier. So the entire supply chain is going to have this obligation to report these parts that have a problem.
So what business practices do you think these companies are going to have to start implementing that they're not already doing?
Well, it depends on how, carefully they review their supply chains, but they're certainly going to have to put into place a response system that's going to capture these difficulties, and the contractor's got 30 days to report them from the time they arise. So you've got to be able to investigate them promptly, decide whether or not this is something that you have to report, and do all of that in 30 days. Let me also talk about the second part of this, because I think in some ways that's going to be even more consequential. Contractors need to screen these reports. The reports are going to be published in something called GIDAP, the Government Industry Data Exchange Program, which is a website that allows everyone to scan these reports. The contractors are going to need to screen those to avoid putting counterfeit or non-conforming parts in their end items. So that means that you've got to look at these things, and of course this gets flowed down through the subcontractors and second-tier subcontractors, etc. You have to look at these reports and see whether you've got any of these problem items in your supply chain. I guess if you, it doesn't say what you do if you do, but obviously a manufacturer knows if there are defective parts out there, is going to have to do something about that. And I could certainly see a chain reaction happening where one contractor reports an item of supply or a component is being defective, and that triggers many, many reports by other contractors that use the same item of supply.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo. He's a procurement attorney in Washington with Petrillo and Powell. Now, we're talking about electronic parts here, but I'm wondering if this is going to cascade. For example, if you as a supplier make an electronic subsystem, a box, and what if one of the screws or something on the box fails and water gets in and the electronics fail? I wonder if the trend here is to go after the people that make screws as well as the people that make the electronic parts inside.
Well, that's one of the really interesting things about this proposed regulation. The statute talks about electronic parts, and the prior DOD regulations talk about electronic parts. But the FAR Council wants this clause to apply to everything. Word electronic was dropped out, and so it applies to counterfeit parts, suspect counterfeit parts, and major or critical nonconforming parts, whether they're electronic or not. So you're right, the screw manufacturer, they're in trouble too.
Now, when is this being proposed to take effect?
Well, it's a proposed regulation. Industry gets to comment on it, and comment period will last for a couple months, and then the FAR Council is going to go off and decide whether it wants to do about this. It's held one public meeting, and it may be holding other public meetings as well.
All right, so this is one that is following the normal course of rulemaking as opposed to being rushed through as we've seen some other rules of late.
So far, so good, yeah. And, if industry really needs to take a hard look at this and decide whether the burden's going to outweigh the benefits or whether the this can be achieved in a better fashion. And there are also some serious issues about liability for incorrect reports. What happens if you do report? What are the consequences there? There's a very narrow safe harbor rule here. Maybe that can get expanded. So there are a variety of issues that need to be worked through.
I suppose if a pencil ferrule had a burr in it and an officer somewhere put that pencil behind his ear and accidentally nicked his ear and startled him, he could fall and push a button and launch a missile. And I guess maybe that's what they're worried about. But do you think this is really a tactic by the FAR Council by including every single possible item? By the time industry is done drubbing them, they'll get back down to the parts they really cared about in the first place?
Well, I think there's a lot of concern about parts that aren't working properly and suspect counterfeit parts, and there may very well be a desire to purge the entire supply chain of these items. You know, if you think about it, if you're selling a commercial item to the government, but most of your sales to the private sector, and you're covered by this regulation, maybe you will have fewer bad parts in your equipment, and maybe that will improve the performance of things throughout industry. But the other way of looking at this perhaps is it's a classic asymmetric type of threat. I mean, those who are putting these parts out into the supply chain have hardly any costs. In fact, they're probably making a lot of money off of their crimes. And the result of that is going to be probably enormously increased costs in terms of manufacturing items.
And with regards to the Defense Department rule, the more limited one that this is inspired by, how has that been working?
Well, so far so good. I mean, people are implementing it. I have not heard any horror stories yet coming through. I mean, we're still feeling our way, but industry, I think, took this very seriously because of the reputational and other dangers of having your item include counterfeit parts. So there have been efforts by industry to purge those from their items, and we'll have to see how that works in the future. But so far, I have not heard any reports of really bad problem.
And how long has that been in effect?
Those regulations came in toward the end of last year, so it's still pretty new.
Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with the law firm Petrillo and Powell. Joe, thanks for that report.
Thank you very much.